Hello, it's once again welcome to At the Table with Gail, with me, Peter Fleming, and Gail Hall. Hello, Gail.
Hello, hello. Gee, it's nice and warm in this room today. Hasn't it been cold?
It's almost a bit too warm, but yes, boy, it has been cold.
Peter's
yes.
got short sleeves. He thinks he's in Hawaii, and I've got about three layers on. So I
got a bit hot, and then I don't know. I think I'm all right. I wasn't too well yesterday, but it wasn't anything like this. So,
oh, okay. Be careful.
I'm being careful, but yeah. I feel absolutely fine.
Yes.
Right, back to food then. I think we've both got some reporting to do.
Well, we have. Well, mine goes a bit back because you made that bread. Mm. And I've actually just given that recipe to somebody else yesterday because I told them about it. And anyway, I did have a sandwich. And I must admit, it's probably the thickest sandwich that I had for some time. And I thought to myself, this is a real Dagwood sandwich. But it was lovely. It had I had ham, some homemade sort of pickles in it, and some cheese and butter, of course. And it was lovely. It's really encouraged me, as I said, I'm going to be making that loaf.
Oh, that's good.
It was really nice, Peter.
Yeah, it's so simple. I mean, it's not like a normal loaf of bread at all, is it?
No. And just quick and easy too as well. If you sort of think, oh, I'm having soup for tea tonight and I've got no bread, this would be easy enough just to whip up.
And I found it kept really well. I put wrapped it up and put it in the fridge, and it was fine for two or three days, and then toasted really nicely.
Nice, yeah, you said about the toast.
Really good, wasn't it?
So that's good success. And listeners, it was really nice. I enjoyed it.
Okay, well here we are. I'll praise you now because.
Oh, okay, it's praise day.
Praise day. Pat you on the back. Right, yesterday my wife Claire did the hospice cooking for the day people, and she did your tomato soup.
Wow.
And she brought some home for me.
Wow.
And everybody waxed lyrical about it. A couple of the other ladies wanted the recipe, which is copied off and taken them into. It really is. I mean, it's pretty simple, but boy, is
it
tasty.
It's a winner. It's good. Yeah, exactly.
Lots of texture.
Oh, well, they'll have to listen to our program, these other people that are looking for these recipes.
Draws them in, all being well.
Right.
On top of that, of course, there was the upside down, supposedly plum cake, which was an apricot cake, which you did the week before, which you gave us a slice of. Very nice. I recommend that.
Oh, good.
And, well, we haven't done it yet, but we're going to be doing your peanut butter slice.
Later in the program.
Later in the program. And that was jolly nice as well. So all usual success rate.
Good.
10 out of 10.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's for the bread as well, Peter.
Thank you. Right, okay. Well, back to reality now.
Well, So I've chose this because it looked interesting. And it's fish, and we don't often do fish, but I had some fish in the freezer, and I thought, when I open my freezer, I always say, Gail, you need to do something with that fish. And I don't. So when I saw this recipe, I thought, fish out of the freezer, you're making this. And what I sort of appealed to me, Peter, was that it was actually fish in papillon.
Papillon. I think I pronounce that. Papillon,
if that's
as
right.
In French for paper.
Papillon with dill and lemon butter. And I thought, wow, this is going to taste good. And, of course, you know, that French word that I probably won't repeat again, meaning wrapped in paper. And so that's exactly what I did. So I didn't weigh my fish slices. I just thought, well, I'm gonna be eating it anyway. So I think it was probably about 450 grams, but you could use less. So 450 grams.
That's quite a bit of fish.
It is quite a bit of fish. I got two nights out of it. I had two meals.
My and our rule of thumb is 300 grams a night for the two of us of anything.
Oh, right.
Whether
okay.
it's meat or fish.
Oh, right. Well, this was sort of like four fillets, I suppose you could say. And I just thought, well, it was frozen and I really needed to use it. So I got two meals out of this for me personally.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I did. Lovely. And one shallot sliced, 50 grams of butter. Now, I think it's important that you do have 50 grams of butter because with the rest of the ingredients, it actually made a sort of like a sauce. And so I was quite strict about the butter. One, you can have, you know, a little less if you want to. One lemon zested and in slices, a handful of dill, which I had to go out and buy a dill plant because I had no dill. And I thought to myself, well, I want to grow it anyway. So I brought a pot of dill and a handful of parsley, 2 tablespoons of oil, 2 tablespoons of white wine, and salt and pepper to taste. So you're preheating your oven to 200 degrees.
Can I ask you what oil did you use?
I used the good oil. It's just a good oil. It's in the supermarket. It's in a black bottle with a yellow writing on it.
That's not olive oil.
No.
No, okay.
No, it's not olive oil.
That's what it really was.
Just table. And it didn't specify, actually, in the recipe.
They often don't, do they?
No. But 2 tablespoons of oil and great. So we're preheating your oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Now, prepare a piece of baking paper, ensuring sufficient space along the 3 edges, about 5 centimetres. So when you're folding over the fish into the edges, this is the size you need. But if you can sort of make an envelope or something with it or a pouch yourself, I'm not going to really give you the instructions for that. But you need to be prepared because it needs to be steamed, basically, in the paper. So I did that the best way I could. Now, you place, and I put it, the paper, in a crockery dish because I didn't want to put it on a tray. The butter and all that might seep out. So I put a piece of paper, put the lemon slices on the baking paper, then lay the fish on top. And you're dotting the fish with butter. And I was generous. And add the salt and pepper to taste. Now, you're just putting the dill, parsley, the shallot, and lemon zest over the fish. And then you pour over the oil and the white wine. And then that's when you're folding it into a package. And when you've done that, you can crimp it or, you know, seal it however you like, sort of crimp it together. This traps the steam that will cook your fish. Now, my fillets were quite thick, so I basically decided that I was going to be generous and just give it another few minutes. So you're placing the parcel in a dish and bake for 10 minutes. Well, I decided that I would give it 15 because it was quite thick. And finish with a squeeze of lemon once you've taken it out, if you want to. Now, I did give it 15, took it out in the paper. Beautiful sauce that it created. Lovely. With the wine, the butter, the lemon juice, and it was just lovely. Really nice. So I took out a couple of the little fillets, and then I put it on my plate and made sure I got plenty of sauces. And I actually had it with sort of like skillet potatoes, but they were cold potatoes. And I just quickly put some oil on them. And while the fish was in the oven, I just sort of cooked them in the oven so they got a bit crisp.
Oh, you didn't do them in the air fryer then? Oh, sorry, you haven't got an air fryer.
Oh, right, I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. And with the salt and pepper to taste. Now, this was really, really lovely. Next night, I didn't have to worry about tea. I just put it covered and did a very light microwave cooking on it. And then I had some carrots and potatoes with it. Absolutely beautiful. Really worth making, Peter.
Good, because we've discussed this fish business before, and a lot of people are just wary, and we don't know how to cook fish. And there's not much more simple and much simpler than that. Mm, let's face it. I think at one time we ended up some bags, some sort of brown paper bags, which were especially for cooking fish in.
Oh.
And I think we've still got them. They're the sort of thing you think, oh, we'll use those one day. And
You won't be sorry. To be quite honest, you will love this. And if you've got a special bag for cooking it in.
Yeah, it would obviously well sealed.
Beautiful.
Then, so, yeah,
yeah,
the
absolutely.
The other thing that we used to do trout in wet newspaper.
Oh.
And you did actually just, you put the trout, you obviously gutted it and that, but left the skin on and took off the fins and the head and stuff. Roll it in two or three, in a fairly reasonable amount of soaked, wet newspaper.
Oh.
And put that in the oven. And it, same effect, really, that the water gradually evaporates and it steams the fish inside.
Right. What about the print on the newspaper?
Well, the skin comes off with
course,
it, you see.
Of course, of course. Ah. What about the bones? A lot of little bones in trout, isn't there?
Well, no, it's not. They're not that bad. No. You then put it on your plate and you just... put it off with a fork.
Put it apart, yeah. I've actually had trout before, and it's not too bad.
No, but it's nice.
Yeah, but I haven't cooked it for a long, long time. Anyway, so there you are. I would definitely recommend that fish dish. And look, you could do any sort of fish in that, like covered in paper, baking paper, or a special pouch, like you said. You know, just try different herbs. You know, just have a little play around with the herbs. But the butter, and I think the wine's important too.
I'm sure it is, yeah. Mm, okay, sure, good. I'll put it on my list.
Right. So next I've got, I saw this and I thought to myself, raw power. It says raw power. Cacao dream smoothie. Now, when we think of smoothies, everybody thinks of green, don't they? You've got to be quite honest.
People think green. I suppose you do, yeah.
You do, with kale and spinach and, you know, other things.
Yeah.
Well, I saw this and I thought to myself, no, we're not going to do a green one. We're going to do this. And it was interesting to read, Peter, that cacao, when it's heated, it becomes the cocoa powder. So this is the raw cocoa, you might say,
right,
but it's called
yeah.
cacao. And but, you know, once it's heated up, apparently, that's when it becomes cocoa powder.
Hmm.
So I read in this little note in the recipe.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was interesting. 3 dates, 1 tablespoon of tahini. Now, we know that that's sort of almost like a peanut butter substitute. 1 cup of water, 3 teaspoons of cacao powder. Now, I'm just saying, you know, whether you would choose to use cocoa if you haven't got it, but this is supposed to be a raw smoothie, so you know.
And where would you get cacao powder?
I think it's at the supermarkets in the special section.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Yeah. And 2 bananas, fresh or frozen. Frozen makes it already nice and cold. And a handful of almonds or sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, chia seeds. Or you could just do a small mix of each. I don't like chia seeds and things.
No, we didn't go on chia seeds.
No, I'm not a chia seed fan. Mm. But a handful, because this is going to all go into a blender. So you're soaking those dates, and these are probably really nice, big, thick, you know, the lovely, you know, what I call a real date.
A real date,
yeah.
Yes.
Soak dates in warm water for 15 minutes to soften, then drain and place in the blender and add the remaining ingredients and blend until smooth and creamy. You know, this is just a nice, quick, if you like a healthy raw breakfast, this is the one for us. Great.
Yeah, well,
quite
I suppose
thick,
so.
I should imagine.
I've never made a smoothie, and I don't know if I've ever had one.
Well, do try.
That's yeah. So
yeah, we could hear about it next week.
Sheltered life, I lead.
Sheltered life.
Right.
Yeah, so
okay.
I just thought it would be one that would throw in today. And very short, but very healthy.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds quite fascinating. Mm. I was
almost going to make one, actually, so that I could talk about it. But I got involved in other things, so I haven't actually tried this.
Oh, right, okay. All right, sounds interesting.
It
like
does.
A lot of things here.
Right.
Right, it's time for music.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, I did my usual sort of search, and believe it or not, there is a song called The Smoothie Song. It's got nothing to do with smoothies. I think it's just the type of music. It's an instrumental.
Oh.
It's by a group called Nickel Creek, who recorded it in 2009.
Oh.
And it's a rather pleasant instrumental piece, maybe gentle. Oh. So we're not out on the floor today.
Girl. No, no.
You can sit back in your chair, just close your eyes gently and listen to this.
Listen. Is it originated from where? Did you know at all? Is it sort of like British?
Probably British? American, but
probably
I don't know.
Probably American.
I could find out.
No, that's right. I just was curious. That was all.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay. Mm. Well, let's have a listen to it.
Okay.
See. It's quite nice. Relax.
1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you.
There, I said it was just a nice bit of instrumental music. It was all right, wasn't it?
Smoothie it was, song. Actually. Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, it sort of sounded sort of like quite Irish, you know, like a jig or something.
It sounded a bit Irish, yeah. Must have a look and see where they're from. I didn't have
sort
time.
Sort of slightly country western, but but very nice anyway.
Yeah, inoffensive music.
Yeah, well, we're going to start off, Peter, with a sweetie, actually. And we were going to mention this last week, but we spoke too much, so we didn't do it. But it's a peanut butter slice, very, very easy to do. And I was thinking about school holidays, but I think they're just about over. And but I just thought this was a good lunchbox one for going back to school anyway. So 125 grams of butter, 1 dessert spoonful of golden syrup, 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Now that can be your choice, whether you want the crunchy or the smooth. 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 cup of self-raising flour, 1 cup of cornflakes, and 1 cup of chocolate bits. I mean, whichever you like, you know, the small bits that you can actually buy in the packets. So really easy. Cream butter, sugar, golden syrup, easy. Add the peanut butter and combine well. Add the flour, cornflakes to the cream mixture. Then lastly, add the chocolate bits and mix thoroughly. Now, this was lovely. Press into a sponge roll tin. Make sure it's well greased. Bake for 20 minutes at 180 degrees Celsius. Ice while warm and cut into slices. Now, I used the icing that I did. I didn't use chocolate icing. I had some drinking chocolate, which is a little bit lighter, you know, and not as intense. So I actually made my icing with that. And just a lovely, quick holiday bake, nice and easy.
You've lost me a little bit on the icing bit. When did it say about making the icing?
Well, it didn't say making the icing. I think just people make their own icing, I thought. And basically you're pressing it into a you only ice it, of course, when it comes out, when it's warm. And you can just use a bit of icing sugar, a bit of butter, drinking chocolate, and a little bit of hot water I do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had to ask because, again, it's not something I normally make. So.
Oh, right.
Perhaps like a lot of people.
Oh, right, not with the icing. Well, what I do, you can use melted butter, but I always sort of use even sometimes margarine because it creams it into it.
Yeah.
So you put your, say, for example, a cup of icing sugar, and then you put a little bit of hot water in it, not so much. I'm very careful. I sort of like do little teaspoons or something like that at a time just so that it's just mixed. Get out some margarine or Olivani, and just mix it in, and then you can put maybe a teaspoon of drinking chocolate or something like that in it, and just keep it and like a creamed mixture, spread it over your peanut butter slice, and because it's warm, it sort of melts into it a little bit, and then cut it while it's warm.
Yeah, that sounds
yeah,
like a good
because of the cornflakes, etc. Otherwise, it might just all break up. Sorry, I didn't bring you a slice of that, Peter.
You did last week.
Oh, that's right, I did too.
Yes, you did.
That's right.
A couple of pieces for
us. Oh, that's right, because we were talking about it before.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Thank you. Just a very, very quick one it was.
It is
and
quick,
as I say, we were gonna. It was going to be a school holiday one, but we talked too long about other things. So it's become this week, and it can go into the lunch boxes now.
Yeah, excellent, yeah. Okay, that was a nice quickie.
Well, it was. And this one here, it's grain-free lemon cookies, which I bought a couple in for Peter to try this morning. Now, this was made just for a friend who's dairy-free. So I saw these and I thought, oh, I'm going to make some of these to take up to her. And they are a very plain biscuit, but if you're dairy-free, these are great. And we've got to think about dairy-free people, Peter, that can't have dairy. So it's basically 1 cup of flour. Now, you can choose to make that plain flour, or you can choose to make it gluten-free flour if you want to. It's your choice because it will sort of fall into that category. 1 and a half cups of almond meal, 1/4 cup of coconut flour, 1/2 cup of coconut, 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, which wasn't much, 1/4 cup of raw sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, One large lemon. I had this beautiful large lemon. It was beautiful. One, and I zested it, and honestly, I got about 2 very good teaspoons from it, and it was great. I was wrapped. And 1/2 cup of coconut oil, 1/4 cup of, I had some Manuka honey, so I used that, and 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence, 2 eggs lightly beaten. So that's all your ingredients.
I'm going to query 1/2 cup of coconut. What sort of, what do you mean by 1/2 cup of coconut?
Sorry, coconut bits, you know, like the threaded coconut.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't use the threaded. Because the threads are too long. But 1/2...
The crummy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, the half, yeah, the half a cup of coconut. No, it's on the tip of my tongue. They have got a name for it. I can't think of it at the moment.
Just desiccated coconut, isn't
it? Thank you.
Where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Exactly. Thank you, Peter. That's
desiccated.
Exactly.
Now we know.
You
should have put that.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah.
Never mind.
We had the coconut flour there as well.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
But anyway, the method is, now you're placing all those dry ingredients, including the lemon zest, in a food processor and pulse to combine. Now, I'm just going to tell you this, that my food processor is not big, and it wouldn't take all these ingredients. So I poured it into the my little processor, which is not big. And basically I thought, the rest of the mixture's not gonna go in this. So I took it out of the processor and I put it into a bowl, got out my hand beater, and I mixed the dry ingredients together first. And then I added the rest of the wet ingredients, and I didn't even put it on low. I just went straight up to the high point on the hand beater, so that it was like a blender, and it just blended in beautiful until it all sort of clumped together and I knew it was ready. So you're putting 1 teaspoon of rolled dough, you know, you get 1 teaspoon of dough, roll it into a ball and put it on some baking paper, and lightly flatten with a fork. Now, I discovered that when I flattened it with a fork, not too much, it stuck to the fork. So I said, this is annoying. So I basically dipped it in hot water, shook the fork, and then it proceeded to make. Otherwise, when you press the little cookie with the fork, it came up with the fork. That's annoying. And basically, so I did dip it into, or you could put a little bit of oil on it, and just so that nice grease or a little bit of hot water, you know, you can just go along and do it.
That's a handy,
nice and
handy
easy
tip. Yeah.
A handy tip. And bake for 12 to 15 minutes. I think I gave mine, I looked at it at 12, thought, I think this could actually brown up a little bit more. So just between 12 and 15 minutes, 180 degrees Celsius, and then transfer to a cooling rack. Now, this recipe came along with some lemon curd, a lemon curd recipe, because it said you can actually dip this bicky into some lemon curd and eat it. But I decided that I'm not making the lemon curd. But if you like lemon curd, or if you can get by it from the supermarket, but homemade lemon curd is lovely, you could actually make it yourself. And then I thought, well, you don't have to dip it in. If you're having guests or something, you could just put a nice little round on the top.
Oh, very nice, yeah.
I thought it's a lovely, and I took it up to my friend who, you know, was very appreciative of these dairy-free cookies.
Yes, and I'm going to try. And of course, you brought one in for our program manager, Catherine, today.
I did, because she's dairy free.
Yeah, so we'll get a report from her as well.
Right, yeah. So pretty plain, but you can taste the coconut, and it's just nice.
Well, I should have mine with my morning coffee.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. Good on you.
All right. Well, that's it. We've filled the half hour.
Oh, we have.
We have.
Oh,
believe
so
it or not.
I'll have to save one recipe for next week then.
Yes. Will it be what we think it will be? Because I think it's worth mentioning.
Well, the tripe.
The tripe.
Yes, yes. Well, I did. I found this. Now, I found it in an old Edmonds book. Honestly, old one. And I was going through and I was thinking, oh, a lot of things haven't changed that much. And then I saw this tripe recipe and I thought, well, I don't actually like it. I have eaten it when somebody dished it up to me. and I felt obliged to. So, but anyway, not my thing. But I saw this and I thought, gee, it used to be eaten a lot back in the day.
It did, it did, yeah.
And I know that our local RSA, a few years back, used to have tripe nights.
I don't know whether it's popular now or not. I don't necessarily say it's one I'm going to try, but I've never tried it. My father used to have it occasionally, and it's one of those things that you automatically say, I don't know.
It's the thought of it because it's white.
Yeah.
It's just white and...
The stomach sort of puts you off a bit, doesn't it?
Exactly. But a lot of people love it.
They do. So I think we should do that next week.
We'll do that next week. Definitely put it on top of the list.
But I won't promise
to
try it.
No, me either. But I think there's a lot of people out there, I think, that do.
Well, exactly. And we're trying to appeal to everybody.
We are, yeah.
All right, Gail, that's another successful program wrapped up.
Yes, yeah.
Like your fish.
Oh, yes.
It's quick, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Okay. See you next week then.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the Access Media website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.